2 years ago, I had the privilege of spending a year working and leading a Bible study at the Maryland Correctional Training Center, which is a medium security prison in Hagerstown, Maryland. This is a really interesting experience. I really enjoyed my time there. I learned a lot of new things. I learned how to make just about anything from a ballpoint pen, a plastic bag, and a CD player. I also learned a lot of words that I cannot use in this homily. If you ever want to talk, I could talk for hours about stories from the Correctional Training Center. Just ask me after Mass. But there, one thing that I learned there that I'll never forget is I really saw holiness there in this dark place. There was one man in particular that I remember. His name, no kidding, his name was Bino. And Bino had been in prison for 30 years. He's still there. And he had undergone a real transformation through this Bible study and through going to Mass, through reading the Scriptures. Really a prodigal son that had returned home. And I was always struck by this man who read the Bible more than I do, a man who prays probably more than I do, a man who really believes. And one day he was telling me that going to prison was the best thing that ever happened to him in his life. I must have looked kind of shocked because he had to explain himself. And this is what he said. He said, "I am more free in here than I ever was out there." Think about that. I am more free in here than I ever was out there. At that moment, I realized that Bino knew something about freedom that I'm still trying to learn, and that I think most of us are still trying to learn. It's something that only the prodigal son can understand. So today we had this very long reading, the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the two brothers or the merciful father, however you want to call it. It's one of the tenderest passages in Scripture, in the Gospels. But we cannot let it lose its edge. We cannot let it lose its challenging quality. Because it confronts us. This parable confronts us with the personal question, who am I? Do I live this? It calls us back to what is most essential. And that's what I want to talk about today. This parable in light of human freedom. Am I free? The parable begins with the father. And like any good parent, the father is interested in the freedom of his children. And so when the time comes, he is willing to give them the freedom that they need, to divide his property, his inheritance between the brothers. And he knows that he's taking a risk. He knows that they could go off and squander their property, that they could use it for evil purposes. But he still gives them this freedom. It's important to him. He knows that they need it. The early church fathers, when they read this parable, they thought back to Genesis chapter 2, when God made the first man, his son, Adam, and he gave him everything, complete freedom and possibility. But like the prodigal son, what did Adam do? He went out and squandered it in sin. Because you see, the prodigal son, he had his own idea of what freedom was. That he would take what was his, and that he would use this freedom for himself. It's the freedom of autonomy. For me, I choose myself. He wants freedom on his own terms. A wise priest once told me that all sin really boils down to this twisted pride. It's the desire to choose myself over what is my destiny, over what is my eternal destiny, and who I am. But there's this moment of conversion, and we see the son when he finally realizes that this freedom of autonomy, this selfish freedom, leads to slavery. And he says, "I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.'" He realizes that he cannot create freedom, no matter how hard he tries. This flies in the face of our modern ideal of the self-made man. the man or woman who decides they can create their own success and create their own happiness. Pope Benedict XVI, he actually says that the son not only squandered his inheritance, but he squanders his very essence, his identity as a son. I no longer deserve to be called your son. It is the depths of sin, because sin is complete deprivation of freedom. That's the problem. But then what happens? The amazing part. This is best depicted, I think, in Rembrandt's famous painting, The Return of the Prodigal Son. It's a beautiful image. And we're immediately drawn when we look at this image to the figure of the Father, the merciful Father, and then before him is the prodigal son on his knees weeping, and the Father is embracing him. He depicts it so well. This is real mercy, real love. The most striking part of the painting, though, is the chiaroscuro, the light and darkness that Rembrandt sets up. The main figures, the father and the prodigal son, are flooded with light. This light of grace, truth, freedom. It's like the son, his eyes are open for the first time, and he realizes that his entire life, that his freedom is dependence on the Father. That's real freedom, dependence on the Father, and trust in his love and mercy. He knows who he is at last. I am a son. In the painting, though, there's another figure. It's off to the right, and it's even more fascinating. He's surrounded in darkness. It's the older son. And unlike the prodigal son, who is flooded in this light of truth and freedom, the older son is in darkness. Who is he? I think we all wonder that. Who is this older son? We have to understand the context of this parable. If we go back to the beginning, it's clear that Jesus is addressing this parable to the scribes and Pharisees, those who would say, like the older son, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your commands." They considered themselves right with God because they had checked everything off the list. I did this, I obeyed this commandment, I washed my hands at the right time. But the temptation here that Jesus calls out is the complete rejection of freedom. Pope Benedict XVI, again, says it beautifully. He says that these, the scribes and Pharisees represented by the older son, they are filled with an inward bitterness regarding their own obedience. In their heart of hearts, they would have gladly journeyed out into that great freedom as well, like the prodigal son. In other words, they began to see obedience to God's ways, obedience to the Father, as slavery. They began to think that it limited them. It made them envious of the prodigal son. So Rembrandt, I think, gets it right. He shows that in this image, the older son, his life is true darkness, because the Father, that relationship with the Father, has become slavery to him. And this brother, the second brother, is a reminder for us as well. Our temptation when reading this parable, I think, is we want to choose which brother we are. We want to think, okay, I'm either the younger son or I'm the older son. But I think this is missing the point of the parable. It's not that one son struggled with a bunch of sins, and then the other son just struggled to be charitable. It's that only one of them gets it. Only one of them is really free in the end, and that's the prodigal son. He realizes that his entire life is dependence on the Father. And so our fulfillment, our call, is to live this freedom. That is what we were made for. The second son is really the lost one. Notice that the father actually goes out to the second son as well. He runs out to him, trying to bring him back. But his pride blinds him, keeps him from realizing the mercy of the Father. He has reduced his relationship with the Father to duties and obligations. We can never do this. Because the way of freedom for us is radical dependence on the Father, on God the Father, living as His sons and daughters, which we became at baptism. This is the great mystery of our faith, that our identity has changed. It has become children of God. It has become sons and daughters of the Father. So why do we go to confession? Why do we come to Mass? Why do we obey the commandments? It's not because we're supposed to, but it's because we want to live as children of God. That is what makes us free. And so we, God's faithful, must be completely rooted in this. If we're rooted in anything else, then we've lost something. We've forgotten who we are. I think back to today, we remember the horrific events of September 11, 2001. And here we are 15 years later, and we find ourselves still surrounded in fear as a society, as a country. We find ourselves enslaved by political ideology, enslaved to the media. But our hope, brothers and sisters, our hope is in Jesus Christ, by whose death and resurrection we have been made sons and daughters of the Father. We find our hope, our joy, our freedom in Him. And that is why we do not fear. That is why we can move ahead in this dark situation. Just like Bino that I told about at the beginning. Bino, in this dark situation, found his dependence upon the Father to the point where he can say, "I am free. I am free." We too are free because we are sons, we are daughters of the Almighty and Merciful Father.